God's word that you can. Come on. Come on, you can give it up better for that. I want to hear some shouting. Don't stop. Keep it up just for a moment. Come on.
Just one of these tonight? Yeah. If we can get two. So, if you don't take notes, I'd encourage you to take notes, because Robin has a great message tonight. I'm just here as, like Carol Merrill on the old show, you know, what's behind door number one or whatever, you know? So, I'm going to...
toy.
So, wow. She's got issues. So anyways, if you don't take notes, I'd encourage you to take notes. And, you know, you retain a lot more if you do that. Just, even if you never look at your notes again, you retain a lot more by taking notes. So I just encourage you to do that. Make that a regular practice in your life. You'll get more out of things. And now I just can't help myself taking notes, you know. But it wasn't always that way. So you just start a habit. You know, there's a... Somebody brought it up, Chris, I think you brought it up, at Men's Bible Study, and it was a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I didn't plan on sharing this, but, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It's awesome. So let's pray. Let's... Spirit, we just pray for your presence. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you have your way here tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. What you want to say to us. Lord, the great plan, these great and precious promises, all these things, Lord, that you have for us. Help us to walk in them. Just pray you would have your way here tonight, that your presence would just stir our hearts to go deeper. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good job. So I have a beautiful picture up here, and I wish I could have you see it, of our children. And it's hard to get all of them in one picture because they're spread out. Now, this is the beautiful version of the picture. Do you see the photo bomb in that picture? We went to take that picture at Christmas time, and look at that in the back. That's your pastor. My version, I was able to kind of skim across it. So
she put a Sharpie over you. She put a Sharpie over you.
Yeah, you're our extra kid, let me tell you. I always wanted five kids. And then you can show, and there's, so our married couple children, Jamin and Jason are on the end. Then our Bethany, she doesn't have, we don't have George in the picture, but she has a wonderful Christian man, George. And Jordan and Carly just got married. That's our third child. And then on the end is our precious Micah. And Nicole was in the other picture. So, the reason we show a picture is most of you know us, but some of you don't. So you don't know our story. You don't know how far-reaching and what we're driven by. And really, that's what compels us, other than the love of Christ, is to leave a lasting legacy. I said to my husband, how much do you think I'm going to cry tonight? And he said, not very much. You'll do fine. Well, the title of our message tonight is The Power of Your Personal Story. And one of the reasons I'm thinking so much about this is because we're about to travel overseas again. A lot of you know this. You've heard it. I don't mean to be repetitious, but some of you don't know. And so we do travel overseas, and I'm wondering how God will use us while we're in Singapore. So I was asking God, what would be a good message? And I sometimes feel like one of the disciples, how it says they were here for a while, then they traveled there and they did this, and then they came back, you know? And I wonder why God has us travel around the world to be used. He works, mostly works, and then I kind of get in trouble. We find a church, we find a Bible study, we find some way to be used, which is wonderful, and I'm so grateful for that. But I'm not sure why it can't just be here. But nonetheless, I don't expect nearly as dramatic circumstances as the disciples. I do want to accomplish what God has for us. While we're there, wherever we are, we want to be planted. And there's always room for learning and growing. Whatever the reason, I'm willing. And this seems to be our lot in life at this time. So I'd better make the most of it. I hope to show you the value of your personal story to expand your thinking. Your personal testimony is yours. You've lived it. No one can argue it or take it away or deny the changes in you. When we're speaking with someone and feel a stirring in our heart, sometimes it's like little butterflies, and we believe God wants us to share with somebody. But sometimes we struggle with how to do that. What are we supposed to say? Greg Laurie says, everyone loves a good story. And I'm here to say, you have a good story, a great one. We have the message of hope, peace, an eternal life in a hurting world searching for an answer. Why aren't we sharing it? One of the reasons we don't tell our story is because we fail to realize the power of our story. So this would be number one, the power. The significance of our story is that it's real and it's our own. And no one has the same story or experience as you. God will bring people into your life for you to share with. We won't all be like a Billy Graham, but John Maxwell says that we will influence at least 10,000 people in our lifetime, whether you're shy or whether you talk a bit like me. We will influence over 10,000 people. So the question isn't whether you will influence someone, but how you will use your influence. Our children saw the change in their dad. And eventually, they could only attribute it to Christ in his life. I just heard Lenny telling someone that Pastor Marty was a huge influence in his life, even after he had long been a Christian. And the domino effect goes on. And you were going to share right here about the difference that Marty made in your life.
Yeah, one. I had been a Christian. You've heard my story, but I had been a Christian for a while. I was kind of doing the Christian cycle, you know, get up, go to work, go to bed, you know. But I was going to church, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't digging in as deep as I needed to. I wasn't in the Word the way that I should have been. And a lot of times with my issues, you know, my easiest emotion is anger. Every one of us got something, right? It could be fear or whatever, but mine is anger. And I kind of blame my dad. He wasn't always a happy alcoholic. But I kind of blamed my dad. And then when we came back from China, our first trip, and we started going to city church over in the Y. Our kids wanted to go, and we had been in a little home church with Doug Huntington's brother, Rick. We had it at Rick's house and sometimes at our house when Rick was gone or whatever. And really got to, and the kids were into it and all that stuff, and we came back from China, and they said, we want to go to city church. So I'm like, I felt released from where we were. We had been going to another church for 19 years, and I was on session and all that other stuff. But really felt like God's allowing us to leave. And I started to see, and I saw Marty growing up, and I saw the violence of his dad and all that stuff. and I didn't have an excuse anymore. My excuse was lousy, you know, because I couldn't, because Marty could have used it. He didn't use it. God's power changed Marty's life. And then it affected me, and I really started to dig in deeper. So
the domino effect goes on. So even after people are a Christian, we will affect. So our Micah, our youngest, questioned, discounted, and rebelled. But when Christ worked in his life, it was dramatic and obvious. Where he went, what he did, his circle, playing guitar during worship, working with youth, and preaching at the jail. They were an indicator of an inward change. Not everybody's going to do those things, but what we do is an indication of a change on the inside. And as a huge blessing, we got Nicole. Cross it. This in turn caused a great stirring in our son Jordan as a young man. He stepped it up. He got involved in a church. He played guitar in worship. He got out of an ungodly relationship and sought Christian friendships and just married a wonderful Christian girl from a great family. Our daughter Bethany observed Jordan and was amazed at the changes. This spurred her on. She began serving in Hillsong, New York City, and working with youth. She led people left and right to the Lord, and she still does. The homeless, an anorexic model in a bathroom. She works in fashion, so she's in that world. And there's a lot of superficial, and there's a lot of hurting people who look beautiful on the inside.
Outside.
And are so desperate on the inside. Thank you. I need you. God, in turn, led her to a wonderful, godly man. Our Jamin and her husband, who I call the best son-in-law in the world, which might change. I might have to say that to two of them. They were watching, and they wondered if it was a phase with Bethany. But they saw that it was real and pursued God deeper. They began serving and working in the nursery, going to midweek service, not just Sundays, seeking godly friendships and growing their marriage immensely. Her personality transformation has been amazing. You never know which way the dominoes will fall or where they will begin. Ours started with him, and then they started at the youngest and worked up. Keep praying. There's power in your story. Why do I tell you this? So I can brag about my kids? No, honestly not. Because you know what? There will be a time when we're in struggle. Right now our children are doing great, but we all go through struggles. The real reason I tell you this is because this is part of my story. My story. Sorry, I get so emotional. This is so deep. Your testimony and life have power, and others are watching. That's the good news. But you know what? That's the bad news, too. Because our values are not taught, they're caught. Have you ever heard that? It's not what we say as much as how we live. This should encourage us to step it up, because we're spreading influence all over the place. Your story has power. We need to present it honestly. No need to make it more dramatic or embellish it. Listen, we don't all have a Damascus Road experience as Paul being struck with blindness. However, there are many average, lonely people looking for an above-average gift, and that's what we have to offer. Remember? Number two. Another characteristic we see unclearly is perspective. Your perspective. We often believe a wrong perspective about who we are. We have a distorted view based on what others have said about us or to us. This can lead us to shrink back, not wanting to be remembered as that person, as that boy on Mechanic Street, or that kid in school who got in trouble. But what was spoken into you based on your... But what wrong perspective are you believing about yourself? I want to ask you that. What was spoken into you based on your performance, your looks, your lack of knowledge?
Where you were born.
Where you were born, or the color of your skin. As we gain a proper perspective, we gain confidence. As we seek through His Word, we need to let it seep into our being. And you're going to read Romans 12, yes. 1 and 2.
The first scripture I ever memorized. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, and there's the part, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Very good. So we become who we are through the pain and disappointment we go through, and we don't need to hide who we were and where we came from. In John 4, Jesus is talking with a Samaritan woman. You're probably familiar with the story, correct? It's important to note that Jesus put off any prejudices of the day as a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman. Can you read verse 7 through 11?
Yep. So a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?"
Now I'm going to pick up at verse 28 through 30. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And now 39 through 42.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world."
Okay, I just love that. The Samaritan woman sees her need, and she sees this as a supernatural meeting. In verse 42, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So this should really speak to us. The Samaritan woman gained perspective of who she was at that moment, and it was transforming in her life. She didn't believe her fifth grade teacher, an abusive influence, a neighbor down the road who spoke evil over her. She didn't wait till she had 2 years of Bible school. She grabbed hold of that message. She went out and she shared it. And she made a difference in many lives, including ours today. We're still talking about the story. How are we doing with time? What time?
We got time.
Okay. I read about a young man who led a life of disappointment and unfulfilled potential, because he was born out of an unhappy union, and they named him Clay. And they used his name in a negative way, a spoken curse placed on him by others, reminding him he was nothing but dirt, nothing significant, useful, or special. He carried this perception spoken into his life for years. Till one day, someone revealed a different godly perception of the name Clay. And they exclaimed to him, "What a great name! Clay, a rich and valued natural resource, down to earth and vital to growth, nourishment, vitality." He said that day changed his life forever. A different perspective was a life changer for him. The Bible is full of scripture regarding your value and the love he has for you. If we have no idea of our purpose, we are open to anything that comes along and tickles our ears. We have no drive, no determination, no direction. Number three, the purpose. We become who we are through experience, pain, and disappointment, as we already said. We don't need to hide this. It's an asset in your testimony and part of your purpose. This earns you a right because you speak from experience. No one can relate to a guy struggling with alcohol abuse and childhood struggles like Chris or Brad. No one can love more than someone who's gone through emotional heartache like Becky or Sue Ann. I can't relate to you about the loss through a divorce, but a lot of wonderful people can, a lot of them here. No one can identify with a young adult challenging if God is real, like my Micah. In identifying your struggle and experience, you will find your purpose. In identifying your struggle and experience, you will find your purpose. We all have a story. Find your purpose. We always share this scripture, but it's so relevant. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. It tells us that we pass on comfort to others that we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you've struggled with, help somebody else through the process. Use it for God's glory. Why waste all that pain and struggle? Now I want to warn you, when we find our purpose, it will require time and effort, usually more than you think. Someone said, "Good is the enemy of best," and that is true. We often sacrificed what is best because we're running around doing a lot of good things. We've shared this with our children as we have learned to make better decisions. This is important. The significance of our overcommitment can leave us emotionally bankrupt, impatient with those we love the most, and broke. Boy, could we tell you some stories here.
Got a million of them.
Sometimes we need to wait to hear the still small voice in the midst of the clamor directing us. And stop trying to be the hero to everyone.
Yep.
We could apply Pareto's principle here. Focus on the top 20% of purposes, concerns, and goals. It'll yield 80% results. I love that principle. Let the good things go and do what's best. Rick Warren has an awesome quote from the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, "What on Earth Am I Here For?" Time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. When you give someone your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life. That is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. It's not enough to just say relationships are important. We must prove it by investing time in them. Words alone are worthless. Quote, "My children, our love should not just be words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action." Relationships take time and effort, and the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. Having said all that, there are many here who are finding their purpose, quietly behind the scenes, serving and growing. They go to studies, they encourage, they write notes, they visit people, they hand out papers, they take food, they pray. Margaret, reliable. Mary, conscientious. Joan, inviting and encouraging one person at a time. Dave, kind-hearted. Andrea and Nicole. Brock and Marcy. Sammy, a great mom and a great help to you. There's a lot of you. And of course, once we start naming, we forget somebody, but you know what I mean, right? You get the picture? The list goes on and on. You're doing a great job. We're proud of you. Number four is potential. What is your potential? Lenny often says a quote by Woody Allen, 90% of success is just showing up. And while that's a great start, it often takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to achieve our potential. We know that. I love this quote by Thomas Edison. Quote, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work." To realize your potential will require more time, effort, and money than we believe. We visited somebody in prison, and he spoke of how his life had been a waste for almost 30 years. He felt he had accomplished nothing through many poor choices. His choice of friends, drinking, drugs, and anger issues. I told him it wasn't a waste if he learns from what he's been through and uses his experience to help others. Lenny and I could see he is chock full of potential. But what will he do with it? What will we do with our potential? He has to allow God to heal his heart. I can't do it. He has to change his perception of a loser mentality. That requires work in one capacity or another. Reading, praying, learning, growing. When I asked him what would be his dream, he said to be a drug and alcohol counselor. Honestly, he would be a fantastic drug and alcohol counselor. I'm believing with him if he invests his God-given potential. Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He says, other people are going to find healing in your wounds, your greatest life messages, and your most effective ministry will come out of your deepest hurts. We need to not forget that. So here's what we've established. Number one, there's tremendous power in your personal story. Number two, we need a healthy perspective of who we are through our personal story. Number three, we need to develop our purpose. Number four, we need to develop our potential to to effectively reach the most people. And number five, we need to stand on His promises. At the end of the day, we're called to love, pray, and preach in many capacities. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all else, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. 2 Peter 1:4.
Okay, yeah. So one of my favorites, because I really believe this book will change your life. You've heard me say that. And it's the truth. Most of us here know that. This book is transforming. It's supernatural. It's not, there's nothing else like it. But we got to crack it open. We got to let it in and then get it from here to here. We got to do all that. But one of my favorite scriptures in all of this is grace. I'm going to read the whole thing, but grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. The book is full of promises, full of them. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Good job. So to do this, we must rely on the Holy Spirit to guide our tongue and our actions. Lenny reminded me I'm not the Holy Spirit. We must always be ready to give an account, but it is His leading. John 4:35-37. Do not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. When others see Christ in us, the difference will be undeniable. Our relationships should be for building bridges to Christ, because ultimately, it's all about Him.
Anything else?
No. Amen to that. Great
okay.
job, honey.
Great job. Great job, Lenny. That was a lot of information.
I don't feel like I get my money's worth until you really start crying up here. This is a precious moment here tonight with our friends that we love so much. And I wouldn't want them to leave tonight. I so believe in prayer and impartation and the gifts that God puts into people. I'm going to give you just a little touch of what I'm going to speak about Sunday, because it pertains to this moment right now. I'm going to talk about three levels of seeking God, but one of the scriptures I'm going to use is out of John chapter 11. You read that. And it never hit me like this, but Martha, when their brother Lazarus had died, goes to Jesus. I love this scripture in the Bible. It's one of my favorite stories. Said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. He begins to give her a Bible lesson. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they die, they'll live. But if you go down in the scripture, I think that's in around verse 20, 22. If you go down in the scripture, about 10 verses down in 32, 33, the Bible says when Mary came to Jesus, you read the story. Maybe read it before Sunday and let it work in you. The Bible says when Martha came to him, she comes up to him, Jesus, If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Nevertheless, I know, you know, in the last day you'll raise him. But when Mary comes to him, the Bible says that she comes falling on her feet, on her knees, weeping with passion. And the word there is she has passion and she makes movement. And you know what happens after that? When Martha came to Jesus, he said, he gave her a Bible lesson. But when Mary came, you read it in the Bible, he begins to weep and he says, take me to where he is. Here's my point. There must come a time in our lives when we're just not in a cycle. Get up, go to work, come home, and do the same thing over and over again, and it's insanity. But there must be a passion that grabs a hold of our heart and says, you know what? I'm going to him. I'm going to move. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get that working in my life because I am not satisfied where I am. I will not live the rest of my life the way I lived when I was growing up. And I won't stand a moment to let my children live that way either. But sometimes people go to church day in and day out and we live in this dimension where we just do it out of, oh, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, and he better not go over a certain time, or, you know, and I'm getting so where I'm free of that. Praise the Lord. I was going to say something else, but I couldn't. This is what I want to do tonight. Robin and Lenny, I just want you to come out here and stand out here. You have an opportunity tonight for God to do a work in your life. And these two people, if I was going to have anybody, but I've had some of the most wonderful people in my life. Come on, I'll go right out there with them. Lay their hand on me. I love Robin and Lenny. I trust them. Further down in that same scripture, you know what Jesus did when he went to the tomb where Lazarus was? He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But you know what he says? He said, move the stone. He said, you do what you can do and I'll do what I can do. For some of you, you just sit, you just do the same thing. I'm not getting on anybody, but right now, I want to take advantage of this. Before we leave tonight, if there's an area in your life you need prayer for, you're just tired of the same thing, now is your moment. I want you to get up out of your seat. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to dismiss, because I know some people, you can't wait to get out. And I'm not, that's not criticism, but I'm beseeching you for a change to come to your life, and it could be now. So while I'm praying and I'm closing, if you just want to go to that another level, I want you to come down here. These wonderful people that are going to be gone on Monday are going to lay their hands on you and they're going to impart something into you that will have an impact on your life, your future, your family, your destiny, and what God has for you. So Father, while I'm praying, you come. I'm going to close after I pray. You come and they're going to begin to pray for you. Father, I thank you tonight for your servants. Thank you tonight for the gift that you have brought to us in these beautiful people in this family. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to let life and love be shed abroad in our hearts. Tonight I pray for some that will be bold enough to get and to do what you want them to do. I pray that it'll be the hinge pin that changes the rest of their life. On March 6, 2014, we'll be able to look back and say, I remember those people when they spoke and they prayed for me. I don't even know what they said, but something took place in my life. I met Jesus in a real way that night. Now, Lord, I pray for everyone here that, Lord, great and mighty things will take place in their lives from here on forth. I thank you for it, and I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. You come down. They're going to pray here. I don't care how long it takes. Let them lay hands on you. Let them pray over you and impart something beautiful in you tonight.